Good. Lee, thank you very much. Well done. And again, thanks to the panelists. This is, for me personally, this is a particularly important and interesting topic. I remember well the bruising battles we had in Basel. I didn't intend for that alliteration, but this is a really important process that was really started after the global financial crisis. The one thing that none of the panelists have mentioned, but I think it's kind of out there. This is not an easy process. We talked about the resource intensity, but this is often a really contentious process. There are shades of gray, there are interpretive issues, and it's not easy. But the results, I think, from the Basel Committee, from IOSCO, and the IMF's VASS program, I think the results are clear. This is a really important from a aspect from a standard-setting process. So thank you again. I hope we will have an opportunity to talk about this this program, this process again, particularly, you know, especially in the context of adoption. Of course, it's not an easy process. Okay, we are now on agenda item three, the customer's digital experience. We are fortunate to have with us today Mark Byatt, who is the IFRS Foundation's Director of External Affairs. Mark's going to take us through a slide deck that has been forwarded to you. This, many members will recall, this is something that we have discussed in the past at the Council. The focus has largely been on the website as the primary channel for the digital experience. The effect or the dynamic of the digital experience is quickly evolving and it's long-lasting. We continue to see some terrific advances in technology, the delivery of financial services, the delivery of financial reporting. So this is really an interesting topic as well. Mark, may I turn it over to you, please? Take us through your slides.
Thank you, Chair. Can you hear me okay?
Hear you just fine. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. And I should first apologize. My neighbor has chosen the perfect time to start cutting down his tree. So hopefully the noise won't be too much. So thank you for your time. I very much appreciate it. I'm actually joined on the call by Neil Ashworth. Neil is our program director for what we call our Business Process and Technology Project, which is a multi-year digital transformation project. What we're going to talk to you about today is one particular stream of that, and that is the digital experience that we offer to our stakeholders and customers around the world. So the external facing digital part of the organization. Now, I completely accept that not many of you will be digital experts who are on the advisory council, but that's absolutely fine. In fact, that's great, because this is actually less about technology and it's more about how we can use technology to enhance the value we provide to our customers and stakeholders around the world. So the last time we discussed this was back in September 2019 at the advisory council. We put two questions to you. First of all, how should our current digital experience evolve? And then secondly, who can we learn from? And I think there what we are after really is looking for other examples of what a good digital experience looks like that may be relevant to the IFRS Foundation. So what are other companies, organizations in different sectors doing that may be transferable? Or indeed, what may some other accounting organizations be doing that could benefit the foundation? And we received some really great feedback on the back of that. And we followed up most of that feedback. We've had some really good conversations, both internally and most importantly, externally. So I very much thank you for your feedback. And what I should also say is that this presentation is really looking to just move the conversation forward. It's an iterative process, and what we're trying to do is apply an agile approach to this. So we're looking to make steps forward to develop products, test them, and then determine how to move forward from there on. So keen to share with you where we are, where we've got to, and seek your feedback. I'd also like to thank those of you who have responded to an email we sent around a couple of weeks ago to all of the advisory and consultative bodies, asking for volunteers that may be interested in taking part in an informal ad hoc feedback group. So as and when our proposals take a step further, we'll provide some information and ask for your views. So we had, I think, 17 people that replied to that. So thank you. And our plan is to actually start to get the first pack out sometime next month. So moving on to slide two. So this is the parameters for when we're talking about digital experience, what do we actually mean? And the big picture question, if you like, is how can we use technology to help the organization achieve its constitutional objectives in the most effective manner? And as a reminder of those constitutional objectives, fourfold: first of all, to develop high-quality standards; second, to support consistent application of those standards; third, to do so across a range of diverse economic settings; and fourth, to promote global adoption via various mechanisms, including convergence towards IFRS. Now, a lot of what we've talked about in what we are talking about in digital experience is great, and it sounds really interesting and exciting. But it may well be that in some cases, whilst those digital services may provide value to you as stakeholders and customers of our product, it might not be that the IFRS Foundation is the right organization to be the one to deliver them. And that's absolutely fine. And some of those constraints, if you like, might be our brand in terms of the us being the global authority on IFRS. There may be things that might add some value, but perhaps it's not for us. We need to recognize that we are just one element in a financial reporting supply chain with many different actors. And so we need to be careful that we stay within the boundaries of our responsibilities. It may be some things could be attractive to some, but might not have the broad appeal, and therefore may not warrant the investment. Things like opportunity cost: if we are to look at things like developing additional content, then the resources that we use for developing that content may have to be pulled off other areas. So we need to think about the opportunity cost, and we need to think about quality as well. Maintaining quality and the quality of the output on our website should match the quality of the standards that we produce. So those are all constraints that we need to bear in mind whilst we're also thinking about the value add that we can provide through digital experience. And so digital experience gives us the space to innovate within those boundaries and constraints. Now, I've actually used the word innovate, but it's perhaps not the best word, because I think as an accounting standard setter, we're not really the ones here that should be innovators in a digital context. You know, we are not in the business of blue sky thinking. We're not market disruptors or trailblazers when it comes to digital. So a better description rather than innovate is actually replicate. So I believe our digital experience strategy should be one of replicating what is tried and tested in other sectors. And so in many ways, it's about catching up with what others are doing to maintain relevance and deliver value rather than acting as innovators in any way. What do we need for success? Well, we need people, organizational leadership that is supportive, and we have that. We need resources in terms of an underlying technology infrastructure, and that's a key part of what business process and technology is doing. We're putting in place new content management systems, new CRM systems that really provide us with the building blocks to deliver an enhanced digital experience. We need an agile mindset, so we shouldn't be afraid of needing to know all of the answers for the entire plan. Our focus should be on making sure we have an appropriate vision and strategy, but we're delivering things in a piecemeal approach. And we should be open in terms of our mindset to a new way of working, both internal and externally facing. So some of the things that you see in here may cause you some nervousness, and that's actually a positive thing, because what we're trying to do is to work out on the spectrum of things that we could do, what we should do, where we should be within the constraints and the opportunities that we have within our brand. So next is the strategic framework. And this comes to another important point when you're considering digital experience. So in the year 2020, most organizations don't have a digital strategy. They have a strategy that they deliver digitally. And so we don't believe we should have a digital strategy for our future digital experience. We should be trying to distill down what is it that makes the organization special, what has helped us to achieve the success that we have, and then look at how can we replicate aspects of that within a digital context to overcome some of the challenges that the organization faces. So what you see in the strategic framework is objective, insight, issue, and challenge. The objective we've already described, which is achieving the constitutional objectives. The insight, I think, is perhaps the most important element of this. And this isn't an insight from a digital perspective. This is an insight into, over the last 20 years, what's been the kind of secret sauce, if you like, what's made the organization special and given it an ability to achieve the success it has. And my take on this, having been here for some time, is there are two factors that I think are critical. And that is a sense of collaboration in how we go about our work and the community, the stakeholder, standard setting community in which we operate. So when I talk about collaboration, if you look at lots of other international organizations, they work in a negotiation sense. So you have stakeholders from around the world that come together, sit around a table, try and come up with a solution which is acceptable to everyone. And that negotiation, if you like, can lead to agreement at the point of the lowest common denominator. I don't believe that's how the IFRS world works. I think the way IFRS works is more of a collaborative approach, where we have experts and stakeholders from around the world that come and sit on the same side of the table and work together in a collaborative sense to solve problems. So the problem goes on the other side of the table. And then coupled with that is this sense of a standard setting community. There is quite a large pool of people from around the world that are all signed up to the mission of the organization and the whole ethos of IFRS's global standards. And we all work together as a community to try and advance our progress towards that mission. And those two elements, that collaboration and community, in my sense, are what makes the organization special and is at the heart of our legitimacy as an organization and the success of the IFRS project around the world. And we call that stakeholder engagement. The challenges with that as it exists is it's a very difficult model to scale. To it being quite dependent on face-to-face discussions and relationships. Second, the accessibility of the content. So there's only a limited number of people around the world that have the technical expertise to really engage and the desire to really engage in debates about detail of accounting standards. And then thirdly, the organizational resource constraints in that we're an organization of just 150 people. Maybe half of those work on the technical standard setting side. And so we can only scale that model based on the number of people that we have. So the challenge, if you like, is how can we use our digital experience to overcome some of those issues? And I think the answer is we can further enhance the quality and consistency of IFRS application around the world by delivering a full service digital experience built on the same underlying principles of stakeholder engagement that we have in our offline sense, if you like. So then the question is, what are those principles? What are the characteristics of collaboration and community? And this takes me on to slide 4. There's a couple of things here. The first is that we work very hard to avoid a one-size-fits-all. So we tailor a lot of our communications and engagement in an offline sense to the needs of the stakeholder. And you look at what we do with national standard setters, with the investor programs that we have and other dedicated programs to certain groups. And a couple of pictures you see there as examples of how those work. We don't just issue standards, but we work together in a collaborative sense, trying to solve the problem through knowledge transfer in that we're experts in accounting standard setting, but you and others are experts in the real world application of those standards and provide really important feedback and experience of how those standards are applied, particularly at a jurisdictional level. Where these relationships work the best is it's not a one-off interaction, it's the frequency of interactions that we need to maintain. And often, as is the case with this advisory council meeting, it's multi-party dialogue. So it is useful to have one-on-one, but if you have groups of people working together collaboratively, problem solving, in many cases, you'll get to a better answer. So if those are some of the characteristics of the IFRS approach to stakeholder engagement, this takes me to slide five. How do we replicate those characteristics in a digital context such that we can help the organization to achieve its constitutional objectives in a more effective manner? And so based on the feedback from the advisory council, from other discussions, stakeholder groups that we've had thus far, we've identified three key themes that we think should flow through our future digital experience. The first one being accessibility, and that is about simplifying and personalizing and enhancing access to existing content. And then what you see on the left-hand side is we've tried to map some of those offline characteristics to how they apply in an online sense. So accessibility is about existing content, making it more accessible. Second area is about developing new content to really help to unlock the knowledge and expertise that exists within the foundation and provide ways of exposing that and sharing that to a much wider audience. That's content. And then the third is engagement, and that is about the multi-party dialogue, trying to replicate some of the offline characteristics of the IFRS model in an online context. So to what extent should we create a digital hub to support engagement across the IFRS community? So what we then go on to slide six is really taking those key themes, accessibility, content, and engagement, and try to work out how we can deliver them in a structured manner so that we could start with a toe in the water, if you like, and then as we go on, in terms of our future vision, we can be more ambitious. And what you see here is a spectrum of some of the digital services we could potentially offer. And what we're interested in from the Advisory Council is where we should be on that spectrum, given the constraints and the benefits that we've talked about earlier. Now, this is one slide that covers quite a lot of ground, so apologies that it's quite high level. So let me just very briefly try and walk you through some of it. So in terms of what we call Digital Experience 1.0, so this is our planned base platform for 2021. What we're thinking about doing is as we fold eIFRS as a separate product, separate platform into our public website, we provide an enhanced standards navigator where, for those of you who will be familiar with eIFRS, we move from a book-based navigation to more layered presentation of content where you can switch on and off different layers. So where we have the annotated standards, the old green book, you might be looking at the standards. You can toggle on or off whether you want to see the annotations or just the core standard. So that collapses the number of books that we need to present. And then where we have the red and the blue book, effective or issued, then we could also fold that in by toggling the ability to see the standards in effect as of this date or the standards as issued. And we could even go further potentially to have some sort of time travel functionality whereby you could move backwards in time to see the standards in effect at a particular date. Now, none of this is particularly revolutionary, and I think the Basel Committee and some of their standards navigator work have already done this, and the large accounting firms also do some of this. So should we go down that route? When it comes to content, how do we unlock this knowledge and expertise that exists within the organization? And part of that is about potentially asking, for example, board members to write more articles, produce blogs, to do more webcasts, to potentially recruit a couple of staff writers, to produce what would be, in effect, the equivalent of the magazines that are produced by the large accounting firms, the ICAW, the ACCA, and so on, but presented in a digital context. Would that be of value? On engagement, this is about improving the follow system that we have on our existing website. So when we launched our current website back in 2017, we provided a mechanism by which, rather than just getting a blizzard of information, you could pick and choose at a fairly granular level information you wanted to be informed and updated about from the foundation as and when we did it. So we have some plans to overhaul that, both in terms of supporting that continued granularity, but providing a much higher level thematic approach to receiving information. 2.0 then goes a step further. So should we consider, for example, integrating some of the implementation support materials which are available elsewhere on our website and, in effect, deep linking them with the appropriate signposting so that when you're viewing the actual standard, alongside that, you can see any relevant implementation support materials. Again, we've taken some learnings there from IFAC and the International Ethics Board with their ECODE platform and what the firms are doing. Would that be beneficial? When it comes to content, should we be looking to, in effect, bulk up our premium offer by including things like other bundled services, maybe a once or twice a year virtual conference that you get as part of your subscription fee for the IFRS premium service or teach-ins? On engagement, again, learning from others, IFAC have their knowledge gateway whereby professional institutes from around the world can publish information on their platform. Should we be doing the same? So for academic research related to IFRS, for national standard setters, for others, where we provide a bit of a one-stop shop of information relevant to the IFRS community. And then moving on to 3.0, and this is further into the future, is it our space that we should be doing things like providing community platforms? So when we talk about accessibility, one idea that we've discussed with some is, would it be beneficial if we provided an ability for a national standard setter or someone else to, in effect, white label some of our digital services? So rather than that national standard setter or someone having to develop their own digital offerings for their own stakeholders, could they simply take ours, apply their branding, and potentially add in additional content, again, separate from the standards, but where we're providing a digital service to support others in their own stakeholder digital services? Should we be looking to evolve into more community-based consultation, so an evolution of our existing comment letter process through online discussions? And then finally, is there a space for us in the world of peer-to-peer problem solving? This is something that's pretty common outside of our area, where suppliers of a product have discussion forums so that others can help solve each other's problems in a community sense. That may be too far for us given our status. Should we be looking at things like private discussion forums, for example, where either we have a discussion forum for the advisory council or for national standard setters or others, or others? So these are some of the ideas that we are thinking about and very keen to get your feedback. This all comes down to one thing, though, and that is not a commercial objective. But can we use these digital services to better support our constitutional objectives, better meet those constitutional objectives? And what you see here is an attempt at trying to loop back some of the innovations that we've talked about and to see how they could actually benefit those constitutional objectives. So to wrap up, questions that we were looking for your feedback on are, first of all, what areas of the proposed framework do you believe have the potential to add the most value to you and should therefore be prioritized? Is there anything that we've missed that you think is important? Are there additional digital services you would like to see the IFRS Foundation consider? Equally important, are there any areas where you advise us not to take forward for consideration, given the constraints we've already discussed? And finally, and what you'll see at the back of the slide deck is a series of what we call persona cards, which are really designed to understand our customer value proposition, see how that applies to the stakeholders that we have, and make sure that whatever we are considering offering actually adds value in helping those stakeholders to solve particular problems that they have. So have we Have we captured those requirements correctly within the persona cards in terms of the main challenges faced and how our future digital experience might help to overcome those challenges?